Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 4, specifically. Joined again today by my son Josh, and glad that he's spending some days here with us here in Virginia, and appreciate you taking time out of your vacation, Josh, to spend time on these podcasts.
Absolutely. I've been enjoying it. I've been enjoying the warm weather. I enjoyed Topgolf the other day.
Yeah, we did. We went to Topgolf. I didn't know what that was. It was my first time. And I'm telling you, my friends, even if you're not a golfer, that was a blast.
Especially if you're not the golfer.
Yeah, especially if you're not the golfer. It's like a mix of a driving range and miniature golf. And then they bring you your food right to your bay, which is what I like.
Yes.
So it was awesome. But enough about Top Golf. Let's talk about the Word of God. We're in Luke chapter 4, which is one of my favorite chapters in the book of Luke, because when I think about Luke chapter 4, we're going to get there, if not today, we're going to get there soon. But when I think about Luke chapter 4, I think about the synagogue in Nazareth, and I think about and you've been there with me, Josh, the view over the Valley of Armageddon from the precipice at Nazareth. It's just a breathtaking sight.
It's a cool place. It's very cool.
So Luke chapter 4 in verse 1, let me get us started. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost. So remember now from last podcast, he's 30 years old. He's been baptized. That's the inauguration of ministry. And now the Bible is going to begin to detail some of what he accomplished in ministry, selectively. There's so much. John told us of all the things that Jesus did were written, we wouldn't be able to, the whole world couldn't contain the books. So these are selections by the Holy Spirit through Luke for our consideration. The Bible says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, in other words, from his baptism, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So I'm sure that you recognize this passage. If you're listening today and you are somewhat literate in the Bible, you know these are the temptations of Christ at the beginning of his ministry. So just kind of knee-jerk, Josh, what's your takeaway when you think about these initial temptations of the Lord?
Well, my initial reaction, just hearing you read that again, is the fact that Jesus goes from his baptism, which is celebration. It's inauguration, just when if you took over a church or just when you start a new class, there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of hoopla around it. But Jesus immediately goes from the fanfare and he separates himself. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's being led by the Holy Spirit. And here he comes to a place of temptation. He comes to a place of he has to physically deny himself. Physically, he has to go through pain. And I think many times we in ministry, we try to keep ourselves away from pain. We try to keep ourselves away from discomfort. But I think many times God is leading us to places of discomfort. And there he'll show himself. There we'll have the greatest experiences in ministry because we're not relying on ourselves. We're encountering God.
Yeah, we really don't see the resource of God until we come to the end of our own resource. And again, as you said, it was the Holy Spirit leading him here. And I like your point about going from a highlight, a spiritual good time, to a time of intense suffering, deprivation, hunger, pain, isolation, all of the above, how God led him. It was no less God leading him to the good time than it was God leading him to the seemingly negative time.
And the one common denominator in both the highlight and that place of temptation is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Holy Spirit's there filling him as highlight. The Holy Spirit's there when no one else is around, when John the Baptist isn't telling everyone, here's the Lamb of God. And I think that's important for us to realize that no matter where you're at in your spiritual journey, whether you're on the mountaintop, if you're in the valley right now, the Holy Spirit is leading you. The Holy Spirit is filling you.
And isn't it interesting that the devil tempted him? The Bible says 40 days. So there are many untold temptations that the Lord dealt with. But then we find three specific temptations listed. We find them here in Luke 4. We find them in Matthew 4. And the first is, hey, make these stones into bread. So the devil knows exactly where our weak spot is. Obviously, Jesus was hungered. The Bible told us afterward he was hungered. And the devil knows exactly the weak spot in a person's life to try to nettle his way in.
Yeah, it's a temptation of provision, right? It's I don't have this, so go take it.
And you're the Son of God. You deserve this. So I want to validate what you already know about yourself now. You're the Son of God. So if you're the Son of God, yeah, then hey, you deserve this. You deserve this. Make this stone into bread. You can do that.
Right. In verse 4, the devil isn't questioning whether Jesus is the Son of God. The devil knows he's the Son of God. Jesus knows he's the Son of God. It's more of, since you are the Son of God, then do this.
Right. Right. Yeah, right. Do this. Take this prerogative. And yet Jesus' answer is so instructive. And it's really a quotation from the teaching in Deuteronomy. Man shall not live by bread alone. So it shows you that what was sustaining Jesus in the wilderness and helping him in temptation's battle was the Word of God. So not only is this his defense for this particular temptation, but it's a testimony of what has been strengthening him. Food's not been strengthening him. He's weak physically, but what's been strengthening him is the Word of God. And I've got to imagine that what he's been reading, what he's been meditating upon, has been the law of Moses, because this is a quotation from Deuteronomy.
Yeah, and it to me, it questions, what are we depending on? So many times we rely on a set of things, our materialistic possessions or our bank account. But what Jesus is showing us is that to have true substance, to truly live your life, you have to depend on the Word of God.
And certainly that's true of the written Word of God, but also in play here is the fact that for the first time in Jesus' physical life, human life, he actually heard the words of his own Father. When he said at the baptism, you described it as that highlight time, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So if you're the Son of God, make this stone into bread. No, I already have the word of my Father that I'm his beloved Son. I'm going to live by the declaration of God upon my life instead of making God have to prove himself over and over and over again to me. You know, I'm going to live on the declaration of his word, putting simple faith in the Word of God, not putting God on that trial block every day. You know, if you be God, then. And I understand that it's the idea there is that since you are the Son of God, but we do that with the Lord. We put him on trial every day. If God's good to me today, if God provides what I think I need today, satisfies my hunger today, then, and Jesus took it to the next level and said, no, God's word is sufficient. Look at verse 5, where the Bible says, and the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So one snapshot, one panoramic view of all the power human power, and not only power, but wealth, all the collective wealth and power of the world in one moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. So the devil takes this prerogative as the prince of the power, the heir, to say, hey, you can have everything now.
Yeah, it's a temptation of immediate gratification. And that's a temptation that we face, that, hey, just cut this corner. God tells you to do this way, but if you do it that way, do it my way, you'll get what you want. But we see, as Jesus in verse 8, Jesus replies to Satan, get behind me.
Right.
Because Satan's always wanted to be just like the Most High. And Satan here says, I'll give you everything that I have just for that momentary gratification for the devil. The devil, for the Son of God to worship him. Satan says, I'll give that to you just because of worshiping me.
Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I'm living my life for an audience of one. I'm not living my life for the approval of man, for what I can get out of it. You know, I delight to do thy will, O God. So Jesus kept his eyes on the obedience, setting his face, as it were, like a flint toward Jerusalem. And the interesting thing is, as the Son of God, all the kingdoms of the world will be his. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So it's almost as if, hey, you can have what you're going to get, but you can have it now. It's the temptation a teenager faces. You know, hey, don't wait for marriage. You can have this pleasure now. It's taking a good thing and making it a bad thing because you're putting it in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yes. And the devil, his whole goal, the reason he's bringing that up is so that Jesus doesn't go to the cross. Jesus doesn't go through that pain and go through that suffering for our sake and is separated from the Father. So the devil is saying, hey, skip this. You'll get what you want. I'll get what I want. And as you said, it's taking a good thing and making it a bad thing.
So there's a third temptation here. It's listed a little bit in different order in Matthew, but the third one is in verse 9. He brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. So that would be the southeastern part of the temple, the highest point, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it's written. The devil here is using scripture, but misusing it. Just because somebody quotes a verse doesn't mean that they're quoting it in context, right? And the Bible says, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So this third temptation, you talked about a temptation of provision, a temptation of instant gratification. How do you see this third one?
I see it as a temptation of the Son of God to test the Lord. And so many times we test the Lord in many ways that is not right. And the Lord doesn't have to prove anything to us.
And I think that's the point.
He's given us promises. Our duty is to obey him in faith, not to test him in doubt.
So, in other words, I'm not going to purposely be reckless in my life to demonstrate that, you know, God is whatever, powerful. I think Paul used a similar argument when he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Is it true that when we sin, God's grace is sufficient and God's forgiving and God can restore? Sure. But does that mean that we sin to demonstrate that? Of course not. That would be tempting the Lord. That would be reckless behavior. So the fact that God is powerful, forgiving, whatever accolade you want to give about the Lord, does not give us the right, the prerogative to be reckless in the way that we live. And Jesus answered it in that respect. And I find it interesting because the Bible says, then the devil departed from him for a season. So there are seasons in our life where we go through temptation in a way that's like, wow, I feel really oppressed right now. I feel really weak right now. I feel like I'm really beat up right now. And there are seasons when there's reprieve. But whether it's in season or out of season, the point is we get our nutrients from the Lord and from His Word. We get our sense of being from Him, and we just continue on in season and out of season.
It's having a spiritual perspective. As you mentioned, we go through seasons of spiritual attack. And it's not to get to a point where we're paranoid and we hear the refrigerator make a noise. We think it's a demon in our house. But it is a opportunity to look at our lives. And if you see things that are happening, you realize that we are in a spiritual warfare. There are things that are going on around us. And that, to me, gives us a more sober perspective. That gives us a more serious approach to our Christian lives. This is not just something that we do on Sundays. This is not something that it's good to learn your Bible. No, we need to know our Bible. Jesus wasn't sitting there with a scroll, right? With a scroll. He didn't have a copy of the Word of God. This is scripture that he had memorized. This is scripture that he had prayed through. This is scripture that he knew. And so for me, looking at these temptations of Christ, looking at that season of temptation, is that we need to be sober about our walk with God.
No, that's good. So whether, my friends, you're in that spiritual highlight, feeling as if, wow, you know, everything's going well, and I'm hearing the voice of God in my life, and you're gung-ho about
the Friday of camp.
Right, the Friday of camp. Or if you're in that season of temptation and deprivation, wherever you are, know that God is there with you. Know that His strength is sufficient. Know that His Word is powerful, and you can continue on in the power of the Holy Spirit. I appreciate you joining us again today. Looking forward to our conversation again next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.